No, listen. Mashasa Torah in
Christ.
Not for us.
Not for us. Yeshiva before Rosh Chodesh. Baruch Hashem. It's a tremendous chus to be back, and thank you so much to the Mandelstams for hosting, as always. Thank you to Mike for coordinating the food. Thank you to Rav Kesselman for the drinks. And of course, a huge thank you to Rav Arya Leibowitz, Shlita, who needs no introduction. I probably said this last year when we had this chus to have Rav Leibowitz, that he is probably a Rebbe of all of ours without even realizing it, from the Torah that he disseminates online and everywhere else. And we've all learned a tremendous amount from Rav Leibowitz. It's a tremendous chus. It just elevates this chabura, just having you start off this man. And of course, a tremendous thank you to the Elephant family, Daniel and Leora, for sponsoring tonight's chabura. Leo Nishmas, Daniel's father, David Yonasan, Ben Harav Eliyahu, Menachem, Zichron and the Bracha, all the learning and the Bracha to make sure we eat with his neshama. And then before the Rav Leibowitz starts, we have a chus to hear from Daniel.
Thank you, Chesky. Thank you, everybody. Thank you all for coming. I just want to speak a couple minutes specifically about how my father was a true rodef chesed. And, you know, not in the sense that he would go out and look for opportunities to do chesed. More specifically that, you know, any time he would hear about anyone in need or anyone in trouble, he would drop everything and act and do whatever he could to help or call whoever he could to figure out a way to help. And, you know, just a couple examples from my life, you know, with him. When I was very young, there was somebody in the community who had, it was a very devastating tragedy. Their child passed away at a very young age. This wasn't somebody my father was particularly close with. This wasn't somebody that he was a good friend of. But as soon as my father heard about this tragedy, he just felt compelled to drive to the person's house, knock on their door. This was the day of the Levaya. Before the Levaya, he shows up at their door and he tells this guy, you know, I don't know what I can do to help, but I'm here for you. And he gave him a hug, and I think that was it, and then they went on with their day. This guy, later on, many times, had told me about this story and recounted how it was honestly very awkward having David Elephant at his door the day of his son's Levaya, but that act that, you know, hit, that was so meaningful to him, and he'd always remembered that he was there, and that meant so much to him, just him being there. And, you know, an example from later in his life, when my father got sick and was in the hospital, at the point where he had a lot of difficulty breathing and needed to be intubated on a ventilator, and when you're intubated, you have a tube in your throat, you can't speak. The really only way you can communicate is by writing anything down, or, you know, motioning with your hands. And I remember the first day after my father was intubated, I went to visit him, and I'm, you know, somehow communicating with him. I get a phone call from a coworker of his, one of his employees, who's also a close family friend, and he told me to answer it, and I answered it. And then my father insisted for 15 minutes, writing out step-by-step instructions for a job that they were doing in Rebbetzin Spiegel's house. Rebbetzin Spiegel had just recently had a stroke, coming out of rehab and soon coming back home, and his company was working to rewire the bathroom and make things that all handicap accessible, so that when the Rebbetzin came home, everything was ready for her. And he's intubated. He can't speak. He can only communicate writing out instructions. He sat there and had me read line by line to this coworker to say, this wire goes here, check this panel, don't do that, you know, and all these. In his most vulnerable moment, he was literally unable to breathe on his own. All my father can think about was to make sure that Rebbetzin Spiegel had everything she needed for when she came home. And you know, that was his whole life. And at his Levaya, I mentioned, you know, that Achtov Chesed Yudafuni Kol Yimei Chayai was not just a mizmor to David, my father. It was a way of life. And in thinking back to it, the word Yirdefuni, I think, was chosen specifically by David HaMelech because it's not enough just to feel sympathy for someone, for a fellow Jew going through a hard time. It's not enough to you know, think about how sad it is that and to feel the little bit of that pain that your fellow Jew is going through. You have to be rodef after that feeling and act on it and do something. And it doesn't have to be the crazy things that my father would do, but you know, it could even be a simple text message, a phone call, telling somebody that you're thinking of them, dropping off a plate of cookies when somebody's going through a hard time. It's little things like that that just, I think, you know, I am inspired in recounting, and hopefully my father's life can inspire all of us to be a true Rodev Chesed. You know, especially now during Yimei Svira, when we're supposed to be focusing on Ben Adam L'Chavero and working on how we connect to each other and our sensitivities towards each other. And it, you know, it's tremendous zechus and kavod for our chabura to have Rabbi Leibowitz give this shiur. And of course, you know, personally, since high school, having that relationship with Rabbi Leibowitz and knowing that he had that close relationship with my father as well makes it ever more special. Thank you so much, Rabbi, for coming.
Thank you. Okay, it's very great to be here, and it's a particular honor to give a shiur, Zecher Nishmas David Yonason Ben Eliyahu Menachem. You know, Daniel already spoke. I don't want to dwell too much, and I say the same thing every year, but I think it's the thing that my interaction with your father that most typified who he was, because I can imagine he had the same interaction with 1,000 other people, is that time that I called him where I needed help on something pretty significant, and it needed to be like now, and I needed to know who to call. So I called him and I said, who do I call about this issue? And he said, I said, what do I need to do next? He said, you just did everything you need to do. That was his response. You called me, you just did everything you need to do. And kachava, he said, give me the person to talk to. And that was it. And right, you remember this?
Yeah,
and everything was taken care of. And I imagine that same conversation happened with a lot of people. And we miss him terribly. And the learning tonight should be in Aliyas Neshama. Berushus Rav Chesky and Berushus the Mandelstams. Thank you very much for hosting. So 9:30, right? That's the 9:25. You said
9:30.
No one's
whatever
works.
Whatever works.
Oh, now I don't know what it really is. I should have just asked. Why would you lie?
It's 9:30.
Okay, so all right, we'll see. Well, you know, someone from the back will signal me or something. But okay, I want to talk to you about a shaila that that came up recently, very recently, Pesach time. Every year on Erev Pesach, about 30-40 rabbis go to Riverdale on Mamish Erev Pesach. Why do we schlep all the way to Riverdale on Erev Pesach? So you may be aware that Rav Mordechai Willig Shlita runs a Mechiras Chametz. That is the gold standard of Mechiras Chametz, meaning every rabbi does Mechiras Chametz, you know, but the way Rabbi Willig does it, it's just different. He has many, many hakpados that others either are unable or don't think of implementing, and he's got 30 rabbis questioning every move, so he's perfected it over many years. So it used to be, till COVID, since 1976, I think, the year before I was born, there was a non-Jew by the name of John Brown who purchased the chametz for everybody. John Brown is now a legend in many places. He's like known as like the classic chametz buyer. And he was amazing. Like rabbis would do kinyanim with him, and he'd be like, "No, you forgot the chalipin," you know. Like, and he would say, like, he was mamish amazing and very fascinating story. John used to be convinced that he was going to die by the age of 50 because his father died by the age of 50 and his grandfather died by the age of 50. So like at some, like when he was 50 or so, he retired, moved like way, way upstate somewhere where the air is fresh and figured he would just go there to die. And he would come back on, you know, to do Mechiras Chametz. He had a lot of real estate, so he had money, he had what to live with, and he had enough money to pay for the Chametz. It's one of Rabbi Willig's chumras, is that the guy should be able to put together the money to pay for the Chametz, which is many millions of dollars of Chametz usually now. Especially with 30 rabbis and with affluent communities, you know. So I remember sitting next to a rabbi at Mechiras Chametz, and he showed me one of his inventory sheets, and it said Scotch, $250,000. That's crazy. Okay, it's just one bottle. But, so John Brown, you know, it used to tell us every year, the only reason I'm still alive is because of the merit of doing this. Because I, he was in his 80s already. So the only reason I'm still alive is because I do this. Then COVID hit, and he didn't come back to do the chametz that year, and he died that year. So he might have been right, meaning that might have been the supposed to kept him alive. So the Meister Rabbi Willick had to find a new non-Jew to buy the chametz. So he found this wonderful fellow. I think his name is Mr. Boali. Mr. Boali is a lawyer. He's a Stanford-educated lawyer, a graduate of Columbia undergrad and Stanford Law School. And I know that because Rabbi Willig said when Rabbi Rapp, you know, Rabbi Danny Rapp, who's also a graduate of Columbia Law School, was selling his chametz, Rabbi Willig said, Rabbi Rapp, Mr. Boali is also a graduate of Columbia Law School. And Mr. Boali said, no, Stanford Law School. So Rabbi Willig said, which one is better? Rabbi Rapp said, I bet he thinks Stanford is better. But very educated person, a person who knew how to read a contract and has read much more complicated contracts than the one we put in front of him. Actually, had a problem with one of the lines, and I don't know if you've ever seen Mechiras Chametz, like when it's done with the when the rabbi sells to the non-Jew. My impression, just from the few that I've seen, is that most of the time, let's say 95% of the time, they sell to a janitor. Oftentimes one who does not speak English, and certainly someone who cannot afford to buy the chametz, and the only other time, let's call it 90% of the time, because I like making up fake statistics, and then I put it on Twitter to entertain myself on Pesach. But the guy doesn't understand what he's doing. He doesn't understand what's going on. This guy, Mr. Boali, he's like on top of it. He understood everything. Great. One little snag. Mr. Boali had informed Rabbi Willig that Motzei Yontif, on Thursday night, when he's supposed to sell back the chametz, he's going to be in France. He's going on Chol HaMoed. He's going to France with his wife on a vacation. His wife came to the Mechiras Chametz. It was a chavaya for them. She wanted to see it also. So they were going on vacation. He was going to be in France. So Rabbi Willig said, okay, maybe we'll do a Zoom call, at 8:45 p.m. on Thursday night. And Mr. Barty's like, I'm going to be on vacation in France. It's like a 5 or 6 hour difference. I'm not waking up at 3 a.m. to sell you back your chametz. So we had a problem. What do you do if Mr. Barty's not going to be there? So Mr. Barty said, no problem. I have a guy that works for me, and I'll make him a shliach. I mean, he didn't use that word, so he said, I'll make him a shliach. He'll sell my chametz. So what's the problem? Ein shlich shliachum. That's the problem. You can't. A nachri is not able to make another nachri a shliach. So what do you do now? So all I know is what Rabbi Willig said, right? Rabbi Willig got up and he said, he always speaks in like code, so he wouldn't want to say that a non-Jew cannot make a shliach. So he said, some of the rabbis may be familiar with some of the limitations of becoming a shliach, and don't worry, I spoke to the greatest halachic mind in North America, Rav Herschel Schachter, and he said it's okay. What we worked out is fine. So, but he didn't tell us what he worked out. He didn't say anything. So he just said, okay, I mean, I trust Rav Schachter. I guess everyone else there trusted Rav Schachter. So what he worked out must be fine. I trust Rabbi Willig also. Like, you don't need Rav Schachter. Rabbi Willig is a huge posek as well. But I was so curious. Like, what did he work out? And then I was going to ask him. I was going to call him the Chol HaMoed. And then his sister died, and I figured I shouldn't be calling him in Chol HaMoed when he just lost his sister. He's flying to Eretz Yisrael, and so I didn't call him in Chol HaMoed. I couldn't even call him after Yom Tov because he's sitting Shiva. So I still have no idea what he did. But here's my guess. That's tonight's shiur is my guess of what he did. What do you do if there's ein shlichus nachri? So let's start with the problem. The problem is that there's a sugya in a couple of places in Shas. A sugya maseches b'metzia and a sugya maseches kiddushin. The Gemara maseches b'metzia tells us ein shlichus nachri, that a guy cannot make a shliach because shlichus is derived from Gam Atem. So we say Ma Atem B'nei Bris, Av Shluchachem B'nei Bris. That since we derive the whole basis from where we learn Shlichus is from the pasuk Gam Atem, and Atem, you guys are B'nei Bris, are Jewish people. So too your Shaliach must also be a Ben Bris. So then the Gemara brings the Shita of Rav Ashi that no, the pasuk of Gam Atem is only by Truma. So maybe that's only true by Truma. That by Truma there's Ein Shlichus L'Nachri, but you can make a Nachri Shliach to do anything else. And the Gemara says, no, Hadar Rav Ashi Barusahi, Maishna Truma Dulo, Shliach Dekal Torah Kula Nami, Mi Truma Gamri Nama. Why should Truma be any different than the rest of Kala Torah Kula? That's, by the way, a rule. Whenever you have something that appears in one place in Torah, you assume automatically, Memetzinu, Binyanav, you apply it to Kala Torah Kula. So if there's a principle that there's no Shlichos and it's revealed to us in the context of Truma, we know that applies everywhere, that there's no shlichus anywhere. So the Gemara says, nah, this chiddush of Rav Ashi, that it's only a din in Truma, Barusi, he throw it out of the basement, it doesn't belong. Then the Gemara says, but wait, maybe that din only tells us that a Nachri can't be a shliach, but maybe a Nachri can make a shliach. And the Gemara says, no, that doesn't work either. Just like a Nachri can't be a Shliach, he also can't make a Shliach. So the Gemara deals with that and immediately says, not true, cannot be. So now this problem of Mr. Boadi making his non-Jewish friend a Shliach has become a double problem, right? Meaning he can't be the Mishaleach, nor can his friend be the Shaliach, right? So we have a double problem, that this idea that he was sending someone else in his place, which he did. Rabbi Willig, even though Rabbi Willig had to sit Shiva starting right after Yontif, he started sitting Shiva after he bought back everybody's chametz. He first went to buy back everybody's chametz, and then he started sitting Shiva. So this fellow that Mr. Boadi had sent, I hope I'm getting the name right, I seem to remember the first four letters spelling boat. So I think it's Mr. Boadi. But that fellow that he said, it's a double problem. Mr. Boadi can't make him a shliach, and the guy can't be a shliach. That's one sugya. The other sugya is the more prominent sugya about shlichus. That's in Maseches Kiddushin in the beginning of the second parak, where the Mishnah and Kiddushin tells us that ish makadesh bo mishlucho, that a man could be makadesh a woman either by showing up to his own wedding, which is the preferred method, the Gemara informs us, or by sending a shaliach to show up to the wedding for him. And, you know, if something important is happening, like, you know, the Super Bowl, right? So he'll send a shaliach instead to do the kiddushin for him. So the Gemara says, where does it appear that there's such a concept of shlichus? So the Gemara brings three possibilities. In the parsha of Gerushin, it says, ki yikach ish isha u'ba'ala, a couple gets married and then it's not working out. V'kas of la sefer krisos, he writes a get. V'nasan biyada v'shilcha mibeso. So the lashon of shlichus. So apparently the get can be given. It doesn't say v'girsha mibeso, he banishes her from the house. V'shilcha mibeso, which means that through a third party he delivers the get. Gittin are often delivered through a third party. A lot of times they don't want to see each other. You know, certainly when it's particularly unamicable, or if one of them lives in a different city, then you know, it's much easier sometimes to make a shliach l'alacha. We once had a get delivered in my basement. My brother was coming in from California, and he was a shliach l'alacha saget. My brother's a mesader gittin and a sofer gittin. So he said, put together a basin for me. I need to, the woman lives in Cedars. I need to, ooh, shalom aleichem, shos harav. My brother said, put together a beis din so that we could do a get, and he was a shliach l'alacha, and we did the get in my basement. Fine. But I remember I was always like nervous, like, what's this going to look like when we do a get? You know, like, is it going to be like a sad event? Is it going to be like, remember she got the get in her hand and she said, thank God! You know, she was like popping l'chaims, you know, like by that time it was a very happy event. But anyway, so that's one of the sources of shlichus in the Torah, that it doesn't say v'girshim beis. So then the Gemara says, second source, the pasuk by Trumas Meiser, Kein Terimu Gam Atem, Trumas Hashem. So we learn from the word Gam that the Shliach can be Mafresh your Truma for you. And then the third source, by Shechitas Korban Pesach. When it comes to Shechitas Korban Pesach, the pasuk says, V'shachtu so Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael Bein Ha'arbayim. So it sounds like every single Jewish person has a chiv to shecht a korban, but that's not true. There are multiple people that join on a single korban. So how could it be that it's kol kahal adas yisrael, that every single Jew is shechting a korban? Because I have my shaliach doing it, so someone is doing it on my behalf. It's as if I do it. And those are the three sources for shlichus. So bottom line is, the rule is ironclad, right? A nachri cannot be a shliach, right? It's an ironclad rule, and there's no one that is cholek, there's no one that disagrees, there's no one that disagrees with either part of it, that a nachri cannot be a shliach, nor can a nachri make a shliach. And it's therefore not surprising at all that in Shulchan Aruch, in Choshe Mishpatzim, in Kuf Peiches, Shulchan Aruch reads as follows, Ein ha'akum na'ase shliach l'davar mehadvarim sheba'olam. Meaning, like, you can't be more, like, clear. There is nothing on planet Earth that a Nachri can be a Shaliach for. Right? As clear as day. That is a very strong terminology. V'chein ein Yisrael nasa Shaliach le'akum le'davar me'hadvarim. Nor can a Jew be a Shaliach for a non-Jew. Le'davar me'hadvarim, for anything. So, that's our problem. Right? That's the statement of our problem. Now documented. Okay.
Yeah. How does like corporations work in that type of environment? Like you have a corporation, which is presumably they have agents and lawyers or whatever that work for them. Most of the time, the companies are owned by non-Jews. How do they ever have...
Good. So let's get there. We're going to get there. Hopefully by the end, it should be clear how that works. Now, let's start with the one main, I wouldn't say main, the one most interesting heter, I would say, of how this could work. And then we'll get to the other heterim of how it could work as well, right? But the one we'll spend the bulk of our time on is the most prominent, I guess. The Shulchan Aruch in Chosh Mishmasim Reish Mem Gimel Sifya Dalet writes that a Nachri cannot do Zechia for a Jew. Meaning, what's Zechia? You see something that you know your friend would want, and you have no interest in it, right? You're not, a nice bottle of scotch. I don't drink scotch. I think it all tastes like gasoline. It doesn't do anything for me. But I know my friend seems to pretend to enjoy it, so if I see a nice bottle, I'll make a kinyan on his behalf, and I'll pick it up from him. He never asked me to make a kinyan, but I know that he wants it, so I could be Zoche on his behalf. So, the Shulchan Aruch says, not surprisingly, since Zechiah works mitam shlichus, you're a shliach who's a self-appointed shliach, so you can't be a shliach for the Nachri, can't be a shliach, and you can't be a shliach for a Nachri. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says on the spot. Okay, that's not surprising. Comes along the Shach, which is the primary commentary on the side of Shulchan Aruch, and the Shach writes, Aval, akum, le'akum, nasa. He says, but a Nachri can make, what did the Gemara say? That a Yisrael can't make a Nachri a Shliach, and a Nachri can't make a Yisrael a Shliach. The Gemara never said that a Nachri can't make a Nachri a Shliach. See, the way we phrased it was, well, if a Nachri can't make a Shliach, and a Nachri can't be a Shliach, we have a double problem. Says the Shach, two wrongs make a right. Meaning that if you, right, it's the old rule that they always told you, right? Two wrongs make a right. It's not like that. So when you have a Nachri making another Nachri Shliach, that works, that's fine. He quotes this from the Masas Binyamin, and then the next words are just remarkable. And he says, "Kakos b'tshuvas." He says, "V'nafkamina le'inyan mechiras chametz." Now, shlichus applies everywhere. It's not only mechiras chametz, but he says, "Nafkamina le'inyan mechiras chametz." That you see that a nachri can make another nachri shliach. Why? Why does it work? What's the havim? I mean, what's the svara?
Svara would go the other way.
Right? And you would think two wrongs don't make a right. Why did two wrongs make a right over here? So I thought right away that the svara is that what's the limud from which we derive that a nachri is excluded from shlichus? I told you the drasha for a reason, right? What was the limud that we had? Who remembers the pasuk? What was it? Ma'atem, ma'atem b'nei bris, av shluchachem b'nei bris. What's that limud? What's the structure of that limud?
To have the same strength as you, the shliach.
That the shliach should be the same sug ben adam as the mishaleach. They should be the same type of person. That if there's a discrepancy, in the status of the people, it doesn't connect. But when you have a Yisrael and a Yisrael, it connects. You have a Nachri, it connects. So shlichus can work between one Nachri and another. So that, so okay, so apparently the Gemara's limud is atem b'nei bris. So that's a you know, that everyone that's in the category of b'nei bris would be good enough.
So there are only two categories.
Yeah, exactly. There are only two categories: Jews and non-Jews. So I then looked up the masas. Yeah.
What about by women? Like, if you have a woman who can appoint a man to
Lechari,
like,
yes,
but not the other way around.
Well, that's not a point. That's not shlichus. That's a different mechanism. That's arvus. That's a little bit of a different mechanism. I'd rather not. Meaning, it actually that does get confused sometimes. You know, there's a discussion whether it's you're a guest at someone's home and they say, "Would you like to make your own kiddush?" What's the right answer to that question? Meaning, like halachically, what's the correct answer, right?
But I'm honored to be.
So that's what I'll usually answer. But is that like the halachically? So some of the poskim say, yeah, baravam hadras melech. Have one person say kiddush for as many people as possible. That's better. Others say mitzvah bo yoser mibishlucho. That same sugi in kiddushin. Better for you to do it than to have someone else do it for you. It's a melitza over there. It's not accurate. Meaning, it's not shlichus. So it's not really mitzvah bo yosem shlucho. It's just that showing a love for a mitzvah by doing it yourself. But the pashtus is what you said, that it's better to have one person say kiddush for everybody. Although there's legitimate achronim on both sides of that. So I looked up the Masas Binyamin, because the Shach is quoting a Masas Binyamin. It's the Masas Binyamin that says that an Achri can make another Achri Shliach, and I wanted to see what a Svar is, says the Masas Binyamin. V'i mishum de mistapik lan mishum de kaimel lan ein shlichus nachri. If you're worried about ein shlichus nachri, ein mishum ze lav milsehi. Da muchach beperkish makadish perkezu neshech, de dafka in hu lididon va'anan lididhu. That the problem of a Nachri being a Shliach is the Nachri being a Shliach for a Jew, or the Nachri making a Jewish Shliach. The Lomatzi Mashra Shliach Hatam, the Ma'atem B'nei Bris Av Shluchacha B'nei Bris, and it's based on this Drasha, Kedamin and Hasam, Mashma, the Nachri Shapir Matzi Mashra Shliach, Le Nachri Chavero, Daha Travayu Lav B'nei Bris Hain. Meaning, he says it explicitly, that since they match each other, they're both not B'nai Bris, perfect, they could be Shluchim. That's how the Masas Binyamin writes. Now, and the Shach is a big name, right? When the Shach paskins something, that's about a big name in Halacha as you can get. I mean, there's Mechaber, the Ramah, the Shach, and the Gra, right? Those are probably the four biggest names in terms of Psak Halacha that you will find. So you would think, okay, the Shach says it; it must be acceptable. However, there are some other big names in Halacha also. The Beis Shmuel on Ibn Ezer is the primary commentary on Ibn Ezer. In Or Chaim, the primary commentary, Shach is not there in Or Chaim. Primary commentary, Magen Avram, and the Beis Shmuel both disagree with this Masas Binyamin. So to just say, yeah, Mechiras Chametz for 40 communities, you know, no problem. We'll rely on the Masas Binyamin, a little bit hard. The Shulchan Aruch Harav, I don't think there are any Lubavitch rabbis in our group, but the Shulchan Aruch Harav quotes the Magen Avram and doesn't quote anyone else, like without a cholik. Not like there's a machlokas and I pass like the Magen Avram. There's only the Magen Avram, meaning that it doesn't work. A Nachri cannot make another Nachri, a Shliach. On the other hand, Rabbi Kiveger in his Hagos on Shulchan Aruch quotes a Marikash that's Medayik from the Mechaber that he thinks he's like the Masas Binyamin. But the bottom line is, it's a major, major Machlokas Aposkim. And one thing we try to do about Mechiras Chametz is we try to make it, you know, as Shavu L'chol Nefesh, make it, you know, Yotzei L'chol Adeos as we possibly can. Are there any rayos, though, in this machlokas? So there are a few interesting rayos. First of all, Magen Avraham quotes that it's a beferish Yerushalmi against this Masas Binyamin, against the Shach. That is Yerushalmi in the sixth parak of Demai that says this way, and the Machne Ephraim finds another Yerushalmi that says that a Nachri cannot make another Nachri a Shliach. So they keep piling on. And what's the rule? If Yerushalmi says something, do we necessarily pass on like it? Well, not if it's against the Bavli, but when you have no indication in the Bavli, you know, that a Nachri can make another Nachri Yishliach, and you have Yerushalmi that says explicitly that he can't, and the Pashtus in the Bavli is that he can't, right? So, you know, Yerushalmi carries some weight. So that's one raya. Another raya is a Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen was asked about the following. A Nachri was buying male chickens in order to be Mesaris them. He was going to go and he was going to, what do you call it? Neuter, spay, neuter, whatever they used to tell you on Price is Right, not to forget to do. So if it's is a Jew allowed to sell these Tarnagolim to a Nachri? And he knows that the Nachri is going to be Mesaris them. He knows the Nachri is going to neuter them. So Trumas Hadeshen writes, so first of all, why not? Like, what's the big deal? So let the Nachri do what he wants with them.
Yes, sir.
Is it one of the Sheva Mitzvot? Right? So there is a Machlokas in Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Vav, where the same Sugya as the Sheva Mitzvot Sugya, where the Gemara has a Machlokas whether Nachri is allowed to do Sirus or not. It comes up. You know, I once, the craziest Shaila I ever had is a guy called me from South America somewhere, and he told me that the best guy in his whole community, he just became Baal Tshuva recently, and is the richest guy in the community, supporting all the Torah learning, supporting the yeshivas and whatever. He's only got one little problem, he's married to a non-Jew. He was not from until recently, so he was married to a non-Jewish woman. Good, so let her convert. She was all into it, she wanted to convert. He is, of course, a Kohen. Okay, so that's Ma'asim B'chol Yom. That's not such a crazy Shaila. I mean, it's sad, but that happens all the time. This Kohen was learning Yevamos. And in Yevamos, he came across what he called the heter of a patsua daka kohen to marry a gioras. It's what we call the iser of a patsua daka love of bekal Hashem, right? Meaning a patsua daka is not allowed to marry a native Jew, is only allowed to marry a gioras. What is a patsua daka? Someone who's had a vasectomy. So the guy said, right, literally someone who has crushed testicles or a severed aver, right, something like that. It was someone whose reproductive organs have been severed. So the guy said, I just found my solution, right? All I need to do is sever my reproductive organs, and then, which sounds much worse when you say it that way, but it sounds a lot better when you say, I'll just get a vasectomy, right? That sounds a little better. And then my wife can convert, and I'll be able to stay married to her. What's the problem? Sirus is an issur d'oraisa. You're not even allowed to do it on an animal. I don't want to get into trouble with any of the dog owners over here, but it's a real issue. So you're not even allowed to do it on an animal, let alone on a human being. The Torah says you can't do it on an animal, and we know that that includes not doing it on a human being either. So the question is, but he's not going to do it. Right, he's not going to self-perform the surgery. That would be like crazy, right? So I can't even give myself a haircut. He's going to, right? So what's he going to do? He's going to ask a non-Jewish doctor to do it for him. So what's that?
You're going to help a little. I mean,
well, you're going to be out cold. You're not helping at all, right? So it happens to be there's.
Never had
and Misayaya is only a question of malchus, meaning if it's usher, then you're chayv malchus. If that makes it that it's that you did a maisa, and that's also a fascinating discussion, which we don't have time to get into, which is that whenever you have an isser done by one person on another person, does that mean that the person whose body it's happening on can get malchus for that when they're misayeh, or is that just for haircuts? Right? Meaning the Gemara says it by cutting off payas. So the echad amakif, echad anikif, that if you get a haircut and they cut off your payas and you're tilting your head and you're helping them out, you're chayv malchus, and if you don't tilt your head and help them out, you still did an isur d'oraisa, so you're just not chayv malchus. Is that true of other isurim? Right? So if someone is misaris, if someone is misaris, a Jew, is that Jewish person in violation of the isur of sirus? Fascinating discussion. Minchas Chinuch has it in a few different contexts. Again, we're not going to get into that. But the question, so when the guy asks the Nachri to do it, what's to do the sirus, what's he doing? What's he violating? So he's either violating Lifnei Iver Daraisa. If a Nachri's not allowed to do Sirus, he's violating Lifnei Iver Daraisa, because the Nachri can't do it without his help, right? It's like highly illegal for a surgeon who's supposed to take your tonsils out to perform a vasectomy, right? So he can't do it without your help and permission. You need to submit yourself to that. Or if the Nachri has no Tzivoy, then you're just violating Amir Lakum. Amir Lakum is and it's Rabbanan, right? So it's different stakes, right? Different level. Rav Yisrael Reisman often likes to say that when he was growing up, there used to be an Isser called Amir La'akum. Now apparently there's a Heter called Amir La'akum. But we should remember, fundamentally, Amir La'akum is an Isser. It's an Isser Midrabanan. So let's assume Menachri is Mitzuvah and Sirus. So says the Ketzos, says the Chumash Deshen, we should be Matir if the Nachri doesn't do it himself, but he buys it and then gives it to Avdo Oshiv Chaso to do the Sirus. And he quotes the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara says, and the Chumash Deshen says, V'nidon didon nami lifnei dilifnei. It's not direct lifnei either, it's lifnei dilifnei. You're causing someone to cause someone else to do the Sirus. He's not doing anything. But the Nachri is giving it to another Nachri to be Misares? Don't worry about that. Ein shliach l'dvar aveira. So he's not acting as the agent of the first Nachri. Gam ken l'gabi Nachri minachri. Ein shliach l'dvar aveira is true even when a Nachri sends another Nachri. And he says, and we could say that it's a kol shekein because we generally say ain't shlichus l'nachri at all.
Oh, it's the other way.
Ooh, so what's going on over here, right? So says the Beis Shmuel, you see from this Chumash Deshen ain't shlichus afilu minachri l'nachri, because Chumash Deshen said that someone who sells the behemoth to a nachri and that nachri gives it to a shliach to be Masaris the behema, that's called the fnei de lefnei, and we don't say shluch hashalot and kamoso, that it's a direct lefnei iver, that shluch hashalot and kamoso, because there's no shlichus. There's no shlichus over here. Comes along the Ketzos, and the Ketzos says, Beishmuel, which way are you holding this Chumash Deshen? You're reading it wrong. You're reading it totally wrong. I mean, what you said is right, what you said initially, right? I mean, it says the Ketzos, the Chumash Deshen said, the reason the shlichus doesn't work over here is implying that were it not a Dvar Aveira, then there is Shlichus. And therefore what turned from what seemed like a Raya for the Beis Shmuel turned into a Raya for the Shach.
And how does the Ketzos read the last line for the Chumash?
Good. So how does the Ketzos read the last line? So what he's probably saying is that he's saying that you're not going to say that a Nachri has a greater capacity of Shlichus than a Yisrael in this case, because in the rest of Kol HaTorah Kula, a Nachri has a lesser capacity than a Yisrael for Shlichus. Right? So that's what he's saying. Meaning when he says in that last line that Kal V'chomer, because look, in the rest of Kol HaTorah, a Nachri doesn't have Shlichus, he's going to say, look, we know Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira would apply if these were two Jews. So we better say that there's no shlichus for a nachri because of ein shliach l'dvar aveira, because we know that whenever if two Jews can't do it, then for sure two nachrim can't do it, because in general they have a lesser capacity for shlichus. That's how the Ketzos reads that last line. The shaila really is how did the Beis Shmuel read it? Meaning, like, the Ketzos's taina is a taina chazaka, right? This is like it's a starka taina. This is okay. So I have what to say about that, but again, not for now. Right after Yontif, I wrote this up. I was like all excited about this sugya. There are other rayas. Machna Ephraim has another raya. Let me just go with one interesting raya, and then we'll get to the other tzaddim. In the Sefer Prashas Drachim, which was authored by the author of Mishnah LeMelech, anytime anyone quotes, you could take it to the bank, at least 90% of the time, again, I love making up stats, at least 90% of the time that you hear someone quoting the Prashas Drachim, they're quoting the very first essay in Prashas Drachim. It's the only essay anyone knows from Prashas Drachim. He has a long essay about whether the Avos, before Matan Torah, had a din of a Yisrael or a din of a Ben Noach. Did they have a din of a... Were they Jewish? Were Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov Jewish? So we know Avram fulfilled Kol HaTorah Kula, but were they Jewish before Matan Torah? So his conclusion is amazing. And he has nafkaminas, whatever, you know, whether they were allowed to keep Shabbos, whether they had to keep Shabbos, right? So, you know, very important, interesting nafkaminas. So, what? Right, interesting things like that. He also had, he said, and you're going to tell me there's no nafkamina? He says, no, nafkamina is, well, meaning, I'll get to nafkamina in a second. He said, so his conclusion was that this is such a good shaila, they themselves didn't know. They didn't know if they were Jewish or not. If you ask them, if you were to ask Yitzchak Avinu, are you Jewish? He would say, 50-50, not sure. They didn't know if they were Jewish. And he says, and that's really important because we do have such a thing as a Suffolk Jew. The Mishnah in Horios talks about if you walk out on your doorstep, Rachman Atzlan, and you find a baby on the doorstep, a Tinok Mushlach, so do you assume that that baby is Jewish or not? So the Mishnah says, follow Rove of the town. So if the baby is in Williamsburg, right, you know, probably yes. If the baby is in wherever, you know, in Timbuktu, whatever, so probably not. What if it's 50-50? Right, you take a poll. Rav Schechter often points out, look at the baby also, right? Meaning, like, if the baby, you know, is African American, and most African Americans are not Jewish. There are Jewish African Americans, but you would go with the majority within that, you know, within the category that the baby's in. Well, let's say the baby is it's 50-50, and the baby looks like it could be anybody. So then you have a suffix. So Mishnah says chapsa real nafkamina. So what does this have to do with us? So he says we're not sure whether they were Jewish or not. There's a possibility that they weren't Jewish. He said, what about the following? He doesn't raise this question. The Tshuva's Be'er Yitzchak raises a question. According to those that hold that before Matan Torah, they had a din of Bnei Noach, at least L'chumra, the Pasuk V'shachatu Oso by Karban Pesach was first issued, that command was first issued in Mitzrayim before Matan Torah. How did they pull off Karban Pesach? The only way Karban Pesach works, we said before, is with the shliach.
Yeah, but there were so many differences between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach.
Okay, right. So, right. Pashto says you say something like that, right? But he says from a technical standpoint, if they don't have the ability to make a shliach, how did they pull it off? Elamai Masas Binyamin must be right. That because they were all Nachrim, and Nachri can make another Nachri shliach. Meaning they were all in the same boat. They were all Nachrim, were all the Jews, whatever, but they were all in the same boat. So that's one of the riots, one of the more fascinating riots. Okay, but again, this is a huge machlokas. There's no way Rabbi Willig would rely on just the Masas Binyamin. Another tzad lahakel, I found the Chuvas Marsham in Chelik Vavsim and Chav Dalid, where the Marsham says the whole idea of Shlichus, the whole koach of Shlichus, comes from the idea that there's a chazaka Shliachos of Shlichusa. That when you ask someone to do something, he'll do it. When someone tells you he'll do it, he'll do it. He says, by Nachrim, we don't have any such chazaka. Asher p'yam diber shav. He says, you can't, they'll get away, they'll try to, historically, certainly, when a Nachri was dealing with the Yisrael, he'll get away with whatever he can, and cannot be trusted. So you lose that chazaka shlichus shlichus, and therefore there's no shlichus for a Nachri. So says the Marsham, if only we could do something to sort of guarantee that he'll follow through. Or to increase the chances to bring that chazaka back. So he said, I have a simple idea. Pay him. When you hire somebody, there's a chazaka person that you hire will do the job that he's hired to do because he doesn't want to lose his job and he wants to get paid. So if you pay him a salary to do it, then the chazaka returns and therefore the Nachri can make another Nachri Yishliach. So that's a nice tzad b'hakel. But the Marsham was just Dorish Taima Dekra, like on his own. Like he just said, oh, I know why Shlichus works, because of Chazaka Shlichus Shlichus. How do you know that? Like that's a little bit difficult to accept. There's another major tzad, and that is the Nesivus writes. The Nesivus says, Nistapakti, is in Simon Kof Peches, on the same place where that ksos is, Im Sachar La'osan She'inim Rei Shlichus, Ve'im Po'al Im Etzlo. Let's say they are your workers. Then it's a different mechanism than shlichus. The miut of Atem Gam Atem said that a nachri cannot be a shaliach. That's a very particular kind of mechanism. It did not say that a nachri can't be a worker. So when he's working as a poel, and this answers the question about your employees and the companies and the corporations, right? When he's working as a poel, then that whole problem goes away. That does not seem to be the subject of much debate. Meaning it's a chiddush that the Nesiva says and the Machane Ephraim says, but no one seems to argue on it. They seem to say, yeah, of course, a Nachri can be a poel. So we should also point out that this is a very low-stakes shaila. Why is it a low-stakes shaila? Right. It's just gezela. Now, normally we don't like to say such words, but over here we're talking about gezel hagoy when you know 1,000% that he's not makbid, that he couldn't care less. He's perfectly happy with you opening up your scotch cabinet after Yantif, right? He's perfectly fine with that, with you having your Cheerios after Yantif. So it's gezel. It's not an issue of chamish avrelev pesach. The sale was a sale. The whole issue is on the buyback.
Why can't you do a buyback that springs in effective?
So we do that actually.
Is it too much of a harama to do that?
No, okay, this brings me to the end of the story. So I saw Rav Schechter in yeshiva, first I saw him at a wedding on Sunday night. I said, Rebbe, Rav Willig announced that Rav Schechter said, what did, you know, this is after I wrote up this whole thing. He said, yeah, I told him that the rabbi in France should go and do the kinyan. So that, you know, what does that mean, the rabbi in France should do the kinyan? At 8:45 in France, and then the kinyan will be chal 5 hours later, which is what we do anyway for all, you know, for all the people that are in Utah and California and, you know, anyone to the west of us. So we do the buyback at 8:45, and then the kinyan is going to be chal 3 hours later. So Rav Shach said, I told him to do that. I'm like, that is not what Rabbi Willig said he was doing. So I still don't know. I haven't been able to ask Rabbi Willig, but I mean, Rabbi Akiva Willig told me Rabbi Willig went straight to do the Mechiras Chavit. I don't think he meant straight to France. I think he went straight to Shul in Riverdale. So I don't know if that's how. I was sitting next to Rabbi I was at a wedding last night, sitting in between Rabbi Sabalowski and Rabbi Simon, which is the best place in the world to sit. And it was funny because I was like asking them both the same shailas, but not within earshot of each other. And it was like they agreed on nothing, but they love each other. They love talking about what happened to Moshe Shakolov 40 years ago. It was fantastic. Yeah, it was mamish entertaining. It was amazing. But so I asked Rabbi Sablovsky. He said, Pashtus, Rabbi Sablovsky is just like on his fingertips everything. I said, what do you think Rabbi Willig did? He said, probably the Masas Binyamin and the Machar Ephraim. I would have no, without spending like 8 hours writing this thing up, I would have no idea what he's talking about. Yeah, it's Masas Binyamin and the Machar Ephraim. It's Tzir of the two. Okay, but this last point about the Nachri not really caring is made by Rav Shlomo Kluger in Ha'elef L'Chashlomo. Rav Shlomo Kluger wrote a sefer. He wrote many, many, many svarim, but someone once did a great chesed for Klal Yisrael and took 1,000 of Rav Shlomo Kluger's tshuvas and summarized them in one paragraph. And they published it called Ha'elef L'Chashlomo. So now nobody ever learns any of the other Rav Shlomo Kluger's svarim because they're very, very long. But Ha'elef L'Chashlomo makes it easier. In Siman Reish Chaf Aleph, he says, if the Nachri is unable to show up after Pesach because he's nitfas bebeis ha'asurim, o mikol siba shehi, whatever reason it is that you can't find him, so he says, based in Yachlitu, Shenosim Rashus Lamokum Nishtamish Bechametz, Aldas, Sheyishamlu Nachri, Es Mechira Chametz, Im Yachlet Anachli Lahachzik Chametz Atzmo. That based in should get together and say, everyone could use their Chametz, Almanas, that you'll pay him if he decides that he wants to keep it. And that's another way to cover it. But again, the pashtus is you don't even need that because there's simply no hakpada on his side. So at the end of the day, you have all of these studim to be mekel. I don't know exactly which one was employed or if many of them were employed. But Baruch Hashem, people in 30-40 communities are eating chametz again. Okay. Yashar Koach, and thank you so much again for having me.